So we're into spring. Plants, you're seeing blooms all over. My daffodils are in bloom. Winter blooming jasmine's almost done. I mean, it's been in bloom for a month and a half. So your Linton rose or what's the other name for that? Anyway, Linton, oh, hellebores. They've been in bloom for weeks and weeks. And it only gets, it kind of compounds like a snowball. It just gets more and more and more. And the trees accentuate the peak of spring. So when you see the trees in bloom, you know it is, there's no holding things back. It's going. And so you've had your purple leaf plums in bloom for at least 2 weeks, maybe more. It depends on your elevation. And it really depends on your exposure, east, south, north, west. Just your east side will bloom earlier. Your north side's going to bloom a little later by up to 2 weeks. That concerns folks in neighborhoods. Going, oh, my neighbors, their peaches, their cherry trees, their purple leaf plums, their red buds are in bloom. Mine aren't. What's going on? What'd I do? Might just be theirs are in a sunnier location. And so the sun, some of these are programmed to have so many sunlight, you know, so many hours of sun, boom, just go. Or temperature, soil temperature specifically. So the soil temperature on the east side of gardens are going to be warmer. North side, it's going to be chilly. That's why the snow sits around so long on the north side. Well, that affects the cycle. So you'll see some of that. And so we start here in the mountains really with the cherries. There's a native cherry tree. It's white that blooms. It just kind of sets the goal, sets a tone. It's now spring. Foomp, it goes. Purple leaf plums. This is a pink blooming flowering tree right now. It comes up next, so almost right afterwards. So within, I would say, a week to 10 days after our native cherry trees or flowering cherries bloom, they actually will start producing. They don't actually produce fruit, but just pretty. I think it's got an orange color in the fall, whereas purple leaf plum blooms pink, and then the foliage is purple, and it stays purple right through fall. Then it's deciduous, so it loses its leaves. Right now, I notice this week, the Bradford pears, or ornamental pears. Actually, there's a lot of varieties. So Bradford pears, the one that your grandparents grew. This is not doesn't produce fruit. It's an ornamental, so it's for the flower, same pear flower, which are white, clusters of them. And it puts on a kind of a silver dollar-sized leaf, very glossy, pretty glossy green leaf. The red color of fall is spectacular as well. It's the last tree to turn red in the fall of the year. So ornamental pears, they can be real big, though. So they kind of get, you know, 30 by 30, almost too big for some yards. So we've introduced several varieties that are same height, but narrow. Actually, there's some that are actually jack pears. So jack flowering pears are 10 by 10. Actually, 10 by 8 is real small, like dwarfed. But we're trying to grow more of them that are don't get as wide. So you get the same white flower, same pretty glossy leaf. But now like capital pear gets 30 feet tall, but only 12 feet wide. Well, now all of a sudden, you can put that next to the driveway. Man, it's not going to impede your truck coming or your RV getting down the driveway. And so we've got several like that. So Chanticleers, there's quite a few. But that just opened just this week. And so now's a good time to plant those and put them in the ground. Crab apples will be next. So that'll probably be next week. So they usually bloom in April sometime. Through April through May is when they bloom. And there's a lot of variety. And crab apples have the brightest colors, the purples. There's no tree that turns true purple like crabapple does, or red, bright, intense red, not a muted pink. We're talking about red or white that's so intense. It almost glows in the dark. It's so white. And then after that, you've got, let's see, red buds will be in bloom probably by about the time red buds bloom. Crabapples are in bloom, that kind of, so we're into the peak of the spring season at that point. Red buds are native. So you've got this beautiful heart-shaped leaf. If you've never seen a red bud, welcome to the Southwest, because this is where they grow wild. So there's a Western or Mexican red bud that grows at different elevations. So if you've ever been to Lake Powell and gone to the arch halfway up the lake, so underneath the arch, literally right there underneath the arch or right at the base of the arch, there's a Western red bud sitting there growing just in bloom in spring. It's spectacular, just wild by itself. I think Lake Powell's at about 4,000 elevation, something like that. By the time you hike up to the arch, it's probably at 4,000. It grows wild at all these elevations. It loves growing here. Very drought hardy. They're native. I would say they naturalize very easily. Well, their shrub form, sometimes you don't want a shrub. You want an actual tree in the middle of the driveway in that island area that's not too big, but not too small, but really pretty. So now you've got tree-formed lilac or red buds. So it's going to be eastern red buds are the one your grandparents grew. It's kind of light pink, kind of like a candy apple pink. It's that. Same heart-shaped leaf. So it's almost as big as your hand, heart-shaped. And its fall color is gold. It's very pretty, very robust. You wouldn't think it'd be that hardy with such a big leaf, but it is because the root structure is massive. We're introducing more varieties for a brighter pink. We started growing, I'd say the number one seller right now still is Oklahoma redbud because it's got the same tree as your eastern redbud, same exact tree. The leaf is the same, the fall color is the same, but the pink flower is intense. I mean, like it's really deep pink. So we bred it for the flowers. Now we're introducing that same flower with different foliage colors. And so for tree form, so you've got Merlot, same flower as the Oklahoma redbud, but now it's got red foliage. Same size leaf, still almost as big as your hand, heart-shaped, but the new growth is red. It's spectacular. The fall color, I believe, is orange on that one. Then we've got Flamethrower. The new growth comes out red, and the growth behind it is yellow, so it looks like a flamethrower. It's really cool. Equally as hardy. Same bright flower, that Oklahoma redbud flower, but we're playing with or breeding the foliage is changing. So you got, so they do so well here. I think every yard should have a redbud. Now the question is, which variety is best for you? They're not too big. So all of them, even a big, the biggest varieties, maybe 18 feet with some maturity by 12 at most, maybe 10 feet, 12 feet. Let's say mid-teens by about 10 feet wide is pretty normal for a mature, like 10 years from now, mature, it's never going to get much bigger than that and easy to maintain, easy to water, easy to care for. You can't kill it. So red buds are next. Then after the red buds, I went on too long about red buds because I'm excited about them. It's one of those new trees you get to play with. That Robinia or purple robe locust, it starts blooming usually about Mother's Day is when it's in full bloom. So if you love to have moms over and celebrate the backyard and you just that first big garden party, you want something to bloom about then, plant a purple robe locust. It's got big wisteria kind of blossoms that drop down. I've grown them at all elevations. The most famous ones, I don't know why, probably because there's just so many of them out there, is Prescott Valley. You all grow purple robe locusts like I've never seen. They're going to get about 35, 40 feet tall by about 15, 18 feet wide. This is kind of, it's a true shade tree. But when it's in bloom, the wisteria blossoms just are just magnificent. People stop and go, what is that? I got to have one. But purple robe locusts. Locusts have smaller leaves and rows of them. So it makes them very efficient for their water use. And when the leaves drop in the fall, they just blow away. Not as much cleanup. I don't know where the wind takes them, but it just takes them away. It's quite nice. I'd say most of these spring bloomers, too, the beauty with a spring blooming type of tree is the flowers generally are smaller. So magnolias might be a little different. They've got bigger. So we do grow quite a few magnolias. There's several series that are hardy up here, but the flowers are a little bigger. They're not generally messy because they don't put on so many flowers. Crepe myrtles, smaller. Lilac, smaller. Redbud, smaller. Crabapple, smaller flowers. And they just wisp away. There's just hardly any cleanup, even if you've got rock. Just pretty easy to care. Okay, that's it for this segment. Be right back. Got to take a break after this.